today on Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe.
When you get married, you get your own tent, which is easier said than done. When Jesus was asked one day, you know what, can I divorce my spouse? His reply in Matthew 19 with these words, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? And he said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. This is our glue passage, asking the simple question, how do we stay together when we're pulled apart?
Good question. And one Pete Briscoe helps you answer today on Telling the Truth. He's continuing his series, Secrets of a Successful Marriage, and he begins in just a moment. What, in your mind, makes a great marriage, and how do you get there? In a new 6-message series, Pete Briscoe shows you some secrets to a successful marriage. You're hearing an edited version of the series this week. This special series is our way of saying thanks for your donation to help Telling the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others around the world experience life in Christ. Call today, 1-800-889-5388, and request Secrets to a Successful Marriage when you give. 1-800-889-5388. Here's Pete now and his message, Making a Home.
So did you hear about the guy who went to the therapist and said, I don't know whether I'm a wigwam or a teepee? And the guy said, I know what your problem is. You're just too tense. Yes, yeah, I'm not going to talk about that today, but I can't imagine a better time ever to share that joke with you than right now. So I feel more than ever the need to pray before I preach. So would you bow with me, please? Lord, thank you. Thank you for the joy of laughter and for the joy of singing and dancing and clapping and celebrating you. Thank you that the Church of Jesus Christ is so beautifully diverse, that we are so different yet in so many different ways. We are one in Christ, and I just love that. And I love getting to share life together. It's beautiful. And Lord, this is the time in the service where we direct our attention to your word and we ask you to speak to us by your spirit. And so I pray you would do that. I don't want this message, which is so important, to be misunderstood in any way. So clearly by your spirit, speak through me and give us ears to hear. Holy Spirit, lay on our hearts what you want us to hear. Just give this time to you and I pray you'd work powerfully in it. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. We'll be there in just a few moments. When my wife Libby and I were engaged, we went on a camping trip with her family. This was new to me because I grew up in a family, and our definition of camping was just a little lower tier hotel. This was completely new to me. I mean, Libby's family did the real kind of camping, like tents, cooking their meal over an open fire, wrestling with life-size mosquitoes for space in the sleeping bag. I mean, real live camping. It was all very, very new to me. Remember the first time I went, we were sitting around the campfire at night, and I thought, this is really cool. I've never experienced this before. I really like this. And Libby's sisters and their husbands were there, and her mom and dad, and we were sitting there, and Dave, one of my future brother-in-laws, pulled out his guitar, and he's a worship pastor, and he started to play some beautiful music, and then they all started singing, and everyone in Libby's family is really musically gifted, and it just sounded so beautiful, and I just closed my eyes, and I felt the heat of the fire on my face. You know that unique feeling of just the heat? It's almost just a little too hot, but then the back of you is all cold because it's a cool night, and I'm looking up at the stars, and it's just a magnificent evening, and the music is just fantastic, and I thought, this is a little slice of heaven. Who'd have thought? Camping. And I realized that moving into Libby's family would broaden my horizons. It would give me new experiences that I'd never had before. And I found that to be very true. A few minutes later, Dave put his guitar away, and then we all started to talk. And as we started to talk, Libby's sisters started talking about their sex lives, like right out loud. And their husbands just joined right in, and no one was embarrassed, and everyone was chatting around the circle, and I'm looking around like, is this candid camera? Am I like being watched here? I wanted to crawl under my seat because you see, I'm British. And British people know there are certain topics you don't discuss in polite company. And that would be at the very top of the list. And so I realized at one point that this family was going to expand my horizons, but I had no idea how far my horizons would be expanded. And I realized that there were going to be things that I was going to be uncomfortable with as I came into this family too. So not only is my wife from Venus, her family comes from Jupiter. And I'm from Mars, and my family hails from Mercury, and we're this planetary soup coming together as a new family. And I realized this is going to be a little more challenging than I first thought, because we don't just appear out of the air. We're raised out of a family, and that deeply imprints us in the way we relate to one another. That evening after the fire died out and we all started to go to bed, we went over to Hugh and Dottie's tent. Hugh and Dottie are Libby's mother and father. And I was sleeping on this part of the tent. There was Hubert right next to me. Dottie was right there. And then Libby on the other side of the tent. And so we slept that night with my future in-laws between us, which was appropriate but somewhat awkward. A few months later, we got married. And the next time we went camping, we got our own tent. That's the point of my message today. When you get married, you get your own tent, which is easier said than done. When Jesus was asked one day, you know what, can I divorce my spouse? His reply in Matthew 19 with these words, haven't you read that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female, and he said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. This is our glue passage, asking the simple question, how do we stay together when we're pulled apart? Allow me to paraphrase one of the verses in this text. For this reason, a man will leave his parents' tent and get his own tent with his wife and live there together with her. When you get married, you get your own tent. There's two problems with this. One problem is with our parents, and the other problem is with us. The first problem is we return to the tent from which we came. The second problem is, as we are setting up our new tent, our parents come into ours. Both are challenges. Or maybe it's child rearing. You know what this is like, some of you. Your kids finally have their own kids, and the kids are starting to grow up, and you're noticing some of the parenting decisions they're making, and you're just like, I think we should say something. No, we can't. Yes, I think we should. Okay, let's go. Come on. Hey, guys, move over. We just got a few things we want to talk about, and we're going back and forth. And the thing is, when you get married, you get your own tent. And if you want your marriage to be healthy, you've got to figure out what that looks like.
Pete Briscoe with Making a Home, today on Telling the Truth. There's much more from Pete on the way. The Secrets to a Successful Marriage is a new 6-part series from Pete Briscoe that helps you take your marriage to a divine level of fulfillment and satisfaction. The series is our way of saying thanks for your donation to help Tell Me the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others around the world experience life in Christ. Call today, 1-800-889-5388, 1-800-889-5388, or give online at tellingthetruth.org. We're going back now to Pete Briscoe.
You know, whenever you go to a marriage ceremony, there's some powerful imagery about this invested in the ceremony. Some of you had a unity candle at your wedding. Well, you've seen those. It's a big candle and it's unlit before the ceremony starts. And then there are two skinny candles next to it. And the way I like to do this whenever I'm doing a wedding is I love to have the mothers come down after we've got everyone else seated. The mothers come down and they light the two side candles because, well, they brought these children into the world. They invested a good chunk of their life in raising them. They lit the candles, so to speak. That's a beautiful symbolism of both mothers standing there and saying, yes, we brought these children into the world and we have nurtured and raised and loved them. And then a little later in the ceremony, it's the moment that we all love so much, right? All the bridesmaids are in and all the groomsmen are in and I'm standing there and the groom is standing right next to me and the doors are about to open and I lean over and I whisper, bend your knees. Keep your knees bent. Breathe, brother, breathe. And then those doors open and there she is in all her glory. What a moment. And who's standing next to her? Dad. Pale as a sheet, just hoping he can get down that aisle without totally losing it, am I right? And down he comes. And when he gets to the front, there's this beautiful moment. Next time you're at a wedding, look at this moment where she is standing there and next to her is her father and her groom. And there's a moment when they're both standing there together and you see this transition, this transaction about to take place. And I look at the father and I say, who gives this woman to be married to this man? And he will usually say something to the effect of, her mother and I do. And then he will lift up her veil and he will kiss her on the cheek. And in doing so, he will basically be announcing to everyone in the room, she's not in my tent anymore. They've got their own tent now. And he walks back to his seat and he leaves her. Powerful imagery with him. At the end of the service, this young couple, after they've been pronounced husband and wife, will go over and they will take those two candles and they will light the middle one and they will... They are not snuffing out their lives when they do that. They are symbolizing there is a break here. There is a break from where I was raised and we have created something completely new. We have left. A man and a woman will leave their mother and father, and they will be united one to another. He will be united to his wife. And that word united, the Hebrew word is translated in a lot of different ways in different translations. It's a rich and a beautiful word. In the older English translations, it was translated with the word cleave, which preachers have loved because it rhymes with leave. And so it makes our outline really easy. Cleave, leave and cleave, leave and cleave. And you might have heard that terminology and maybe not known where it was from. Cleave isn't a word we tend to use anymore to think of being joined together. So in more modern translations, the word is translated to cling or to be united to or to be attached to or to be joined to stick to like glue, to be glued together. It's the word used of Ruth, where she, in chapter 1 of the book of Ruth, resolutely stands by Naomi, her mother-in-law, and says, no, I'm sticking with you. It's the same word. Can't get rid of me that easy. Glued to you. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be glued, stuck to his wife. If you track with the flow of this verse, there's a stunning realization. Stunning realization. And that is the ability to stick together is directly related to our decision to create distance from our family of origin. Or if you're a parent of grown children that are married, I could say it this way. If we don't let our kids move into their own tent, we might be making it harder for them to stick together. Parents, we want our kids' marriages to make it? Of course we do. If we want our kids' marriages to flourish and thrive, let them have their own tent. Now, some of you might be struggling with this a little bit. I'll mention a little later why I think some of you are struggling with it. But let me give you some specifics on what this might look like in everyday life as we attempt in the spirit to apply a very simple principle that we have our own tent and as parents we let our kids have their own tent. First of all, for us married couples, I just want to encourage you, move into your tent. Like, Feel free to move into your tent. Create something new. Your marriage is unlike anything else that's ever existed on planet Earth, ever. Move in. So when you're newly married and you're having your first conversation and your husband's struggling to express his emotions, and you're thinking, I know what, I'll just go talk to mom. And you're also thinking, he'll probably be happy if I do that. Resist that temptation. And maybe look your husband right in the eye and say, honey, I can tell this is hard for you. I know boys don't necessarily learn how to do this when they're growing up, but if our marriage is going to be healthy, we've got to figure out how to do this. I really want to call my mom right now because she knows how to do it, but instead, I want to lean into you. I want to cling to you, and I want us to figure this out. Can we pray about figuring this out? And we head back into our tent and do the work we need to do. Let me talk to those of you who are parents with grown children. They might be married or they might be getting married soon or one day. And there's going to be times when you want to give unsolicited advice. And there's probably a reason it's unsolicited. If they wanted it, they would solicit it. Maybe. So what do you do when you see something you're really concerned about? How about this? How about we realize that this is all part of our Christian life? And as a couple, you go to the Lord together and you say, Lord, we really feel concerned about this. We feel we need to speak into it. We only want to do it in the spirit. We don't want to do it in the flesh. We don't want to be controlling anything. But if you want to say something through us, we're available. Lead us, guide us. And as a couple, you wait to see what the Spirit leads you to do. Or maybe you get a phone call, Mom, we're having a big fight, instead of, I'll be right over. Maybe what we say back is, I'll be praying for you guys. Wait, you're not coming? No. Be completely inappropriate for me to come into your tent when you guys are fighting. It's your tent. We taught you how to resolve conflict. Now, you and he or you and she have to figure out how you're going to do it together in your tent. Figure it out. You'll do fine. Pray first. Call me when it's over. We'll do coffee. And we'll debrief. And we'll talk about how it went. I'm still here to coach. But you got to figure it out. Child rearing. You know. Same deal. Pray, Lord. It's not the way we raised kids, but we know things are different now and there's different things out there. And we just need you to lay on our heart whether we should say something or not. And then maybe if he does lay on your hearts to say something, maybe you lead with questions instead of just coming with advice. Seek to understand what's behind the decisions they're making. Healthy conversations. We are to leave and we are to cleave. And what it means to cleave is that we unite one to another. We create our own tent. We get to decide what it looks like in the spirit. And here's your homework. I'd love for you to do a little exercise to talk about what your tent as a couple looks like. And I'm going to give you a specific way to do it, and I encourage you to try it. Set some time aside, maybe an evening, maybe a morning on Saturday or something like that, and go into separate rooms with a clean piece of paper and a writing utensil. And I want you to draw a picture of the vision you have for your marriage. Now remember, a vision is a picture of what it looks like when you get there. So imagine yourself in your 80s or 90s, looking back on your marriage. What do you want it to look like? Begin with the end in mind. Draw a picture of it. You're thinking, I'm just going to come up with a list. No, no, no. I want to engage the other part of your brain. Draw a picture of it, and then bring your picture to your spouse. Share your pictures. Let them ask questions. Well, who's that right there, and what's going on there, and wow, what's that big sun in the background, or whatever. Just ask questions. Talk about it. And then try to figure out if your pictures match at all or how to meld them together into a joint vision, a joint picture of what you want your marriage to be. It'll be a challenging exercise. I promise you, if you step into it, it will be an engaging conversation. And you can start to talk about what you want your tent to be like. Because if you don't create your tent, friends, no one will.
That's Pete Briscoe and the message, Making a Home. He's right back to conclude the broadcast with a final insight. Did you know with your smartphone, you can hear Telling the Truth daily programs? Get the Telling the Truth mobile app today. You can listen to messages, read and comment on Briscoe devotions, find relevant teaching on what you're experiencing, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Find the Telling the Truth app in your app store or at tellingthetruth.org. And remember, you can give to support Telling the Truth through your mobile app or text when you send TTT to 313131. Text TTT to 313131. Now, let's check in one last time with Pete.
Begin with the end in mind. Draw a picture of it. You're thinking, I'm just going to come up with a list. No, no, no. I want to engage the other part of your brain. Draw a picture of it, and then bring your picture to your spouse. Share your pictures. Let them ask questions. Well, who's that right there? And what's going on there? And wow, what's that big sun in the background? Or whatever. Just ask questions. Talk about it. And then try to figure out if your pictures match at all. Or how to meld them together into a joint vision, a joint picture of what you want your marriage to be. It'll be a challenging exercise. I promise you, if you step into it, it will be an engaging conversation. You can start to talk about what you want your tent to be like. Because if you don't create your tent, friends, no one will. So I feel led to share with you that if one day your son marries my daughter, this sermon does not apply. Can I just be clear about that? I wanted to get it on tape. Did you hear me? Does not apply to my daughter. I get that. This is a sermon that seems to be fairly straightforward in principle. The text is really clear. A man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. It's clear. It's the way it's supposed to be. Really hard to do. Here's what I was realizing as I was feeling that about my daughter. I was thinking, you know what? This is a text that is harder for healthy families than for really dysfunctional families. Because if you think about it, if you grew up in an abusive home, if you grew up in a completely dysfunctional home, you couldn't wait to get out of the tent, could you? I mean, you left that tent behind you and you never looked back. And so it's almost easier for you to create that distance. But if you grew up in an incredibly loving, nurturing, healthy, sweet home, it almost feels unloving to create that distance. It almost feels like you're betraying your parents to create that distance. It almost feels like you're rejecting your mom, who, by the way, has poured, what, 24 years of her lifeblood into raising you. It almost feels like you're being mean to her. You're not. You're not. And this text might help you realize that. If you are struggling with that, I've got a couple suggestions for you. One is to watch this sermon with your parents or with your grown children who are married or before they get married. Set up a date, sit down, watch the sermon, and then afterwards, parents, I'd encourage you to initiate this, afterwards, look at your adult children in the eye and say, how are we doing? Tell us about your tent. Are we running over there too often? Talk to us and just have a healthy conversation about it. Another thing that I encourage you to do, and this is the most important thing, remember, whatever God calls us to, He equips us for. Whatever God asks us to do, He enables us by Christ living within us to do it. And this is no different. And so as you step into this somewhat painful process of creating healthy distance so our kids can flourish, as you step into that, it's a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I surrender my need to be too involved in their lives. Lord Jesus, I surrender my need to control what's going on in their tent. Lord Jesus, I make myself available to be used by you to encourage them, but I don't want to be in the flesh getting in the way. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. And ask Him to do this work so that both marriages can be healthy and thrive.
Pete Briscoe, closing out today's Telling the Truth. Right now, when you call and give to help Telling the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others around the world experience life in Christ, we'll say thanks with a new marriage series from Pete called The Secrets to a Successful Marriage. You're hearing just a small part of it this week. No matter how long you've been married or how good you might think your marriage is, this series can help make your relationship both with God and your spouse even stronger. Call 1-800-889-5388 and ask for Secrets to a Successful Marriage when you give. 1-800-889-5388.